glad you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near.
Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's September 6, 2013, our first Friday in this new month, a great month. It's going to be a fun month because there's lots of activities going on. And in fact, thus far this week, we've had special interviews. I had what I thought was a real unique program on Labor Day where I shared some thoughts on labor and the gift that God has given us to do productive work for Him. And a lot of songs that I thought addressed the very fact that we can labor for the Lord and work with joy. Then on Tuesday, we had John Elder in, and he talked about Cross Trail Outfitters and the unique work that they're doing in the lives of boys by using hunting and fishing and building character into these young boys and leading them into that relationship with Jesus by modeling it from a masculine male point of view. And so I appreciated John Elder being in the studio. Then on Wednesday, we had our very beloved Greta Henry. Both Jason and I won't say are fans of hers, but we just lift her up because we appreciate her passion for the Lord, her heart for babies that are not birthed yet, her heart for women and going through that process of bringing that child to term, and all of her work in women and throughout our community.
She fights for those people who don't even get to fight. I mean, babies can't fight. Shouldn't the safest place in the world be inside of a mother's womb? Mm-hmm. And so I just love that Greta Henry is taking up arms. If you ever go over to the Pregnancy Resource Center, she's got a great cadre of women are there that work with her, and she's raised up a little army that stands firm for the babies and for moms, for the wombs. And you know, I didn't know this. I don't know if you did, and I don't want to do. Well, look, I'm going to derail you. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if you ever knew this, but if somebody goes to like a normal pregnancy center, like a Planned Parenthood, they won't do an ultrasound. I read recently that the statistics go way up, that women who see the ultrasound who are contemplating an abortion change their mind when they see the heartbeat, when they see the ultrasound, when they see the little baby moving. So that's
I think it's almost as much as I've heard from Focus on the Family, like 90%.
Right.
I mean, it's a convincing testimony to the woman that this is a child, this is a human being in you, and preserve its life. And they're convinced.
Yeah, and I think about 5 months ago, 4 months ago, Greta Henry over there at the Living Alternatives Pregnancy Resource Center, they got an ultrasound machine, and they were trained by somebody from up in Cincinnati. They now do ultrasounds on site there. So when a woman comes in and is contemplating these things, first thing they do is they take her to the ultrasound so they can show her, look, there's life inside of you. And so, big shout for Greta. I love her.
And wasn't Tasha a test case or helped them along?
Yeah, she went and did that too. She's been over there a few times because Greta's been so generous in offering to, you know, do the things so we don't have to pay for it through the hospital. So, yeah, and it was really funny because they were training. And so everybody, there was three women, and they all had to do the same thing each time. So we left with like a photo album full of pictures, where like normally you go to an ultrasound, you get one or two or three pictures. We left with like 30 pictures of the baby. So it's kind of funny.
And then our special guest, when we had Greta in the studio, we called up Dr. Alveda King, who's the niece of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And so, wow, what a powerful testimony. And she'll be the guest speaker at their banquet coming up in less than 2 weeks on Tuesday, September 17th. So that was great. And then Joey Kroll yesterday, and then as we get to share on Friday, the Book of Acts. But let me make two more announcements, and then we'll be ready to jump into Chapter 2 of Acts. Tuesday, September 24th, everyone, put it on your calendar. We're going to have a special meet and greet at the Olive Garden restaurant in Champaign. Jason Hodges, the general manager there, is going to provide dinner discounts for anyone who purchases a dinner entree. We'll have authors and artists there. I know already Dr. Webb and Christine. I was going to say Christine Webb, formerly Christine Webb, but now Christine Henricks, two medical doctors. They wrote a book together. They're going to be there presenting, and Kathleen Jennings is going to bring some of her artwork, and Dolly Redden, who's going to be also there, and we interviewed her. I'm excited to see her again. And both Dr. Webb and Dolly will be presenting at a special event here at the Homestead again around a campfire. We're going to call it our Testimony and Worship Gathering at the Burns Homestead, and that'll be on Saturday, September 28th, 5:30 to 7:30. And so that's open to everyone. You don't have to RSVP. We have lots of parking. I want to have hundreds of people. I want to have it be a great God-honoring testimony night. Debbie Phillips is going to provide worship in the transitional time where she'll integrate some comments and then lead into worship for the next speaker and then some more comments in worship. And she's just a great gal that you'll be blessed by her music ministry along with three different presenters. So that's all going to be happening on Saturday, September 28th, 5:30 to 7:30. And the meet and greet at the Olive Garden is 5 to 7. So, and if you want to come early to the special testimony and worship gathering to walk the nature trail or maybe jump in a kayak, come before 5:30 because we'll start the program at 5:30 sharp. So if you want to do the nature trail or see this tree fort that I talk about all the time or walk around the grounds, it's a great 8 acres in the woods. You're welcome to come early. So that's all happening Saturday, September 28th at the Burns Homestead. And I have made out a little map with directions if you need to figure out how to get here. I'm on the west end of Mahomet, about 15 minutes west of Champaign, and about 5 to 7 minutes south of Mahomet on a country road 0. But we'll get you here through maps, or we can email you directions. So excited about that event. This is going to be a full month. I know the Living Alternatives Pregnancy Resource Center has their banquet. Cross Trail Outfitters has their banquet. We have a couple different radio events. Our Merge Gospels, because of facility needs at Judah Christian, we're going to have those two gatherings at the end of September, 2 weeks in a row, on the 19th and the 26th. So that 26th week, there'll be the meet and greet, the Merge Gospel, and then the special gathering at the homestead here. So hopefully you can rest up the next few days because the end of September will be full, but I think you'll be blessed by all the events because we're wanting to have fun, but we want God to be honored, people to grow in their faith, and to be challenged by what God is doing in the lives of those of you that follow him. So come join us. Now, come join us now as you open up the book of Acts. And Jason Schiffo, my co-host on Wednesday and Friday, has been taking us through verse by verse, basically, for the last, I think this is our 16th or 17th Friday that we've started in the book of Acts. And I think might we finish up chapter 2 today?
Nah.
Okay. So without any further ado, how about praying us up for the program and getting us grounded?
Yeah. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given us your whole counsel, everything that's good for human flourishing, good for us to grow and to develop, to understand grace, to feel and to extend your love. Lord, we thank you that all things you've given to us between the binding of this book, this great book, which is can be our instruction manual for life. If we would just grab a hold of it, if we would just hug it, if we would just be like those Bereans who were noble and they saw the great value in the work and word of God. So, Lord, we ask right now that as we begin to study your word, we look at your word, that you would help to give us wisdom and revelation through your Holy Spirit, that you would guide us to places that you've already prepared, thoughts that you've already began to plant in our heads, seeds that you've been watering. Lord, may we see things anew today. And may, Lord, through your word, we not only see the world in a new way, but we see ourselves in a new way, as dearly loved, as rescued and redeemed, as those children of God. Not anything less, not anything more, but that place that you've prepared for us to sit and rest, where you say, my child, I love you dearly. And we pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, boy. So the book of Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up. He's given this great sermon. I mean, what a great moment. We've never gotten to hear Peter preach before. What's really funny is that we don't get to see Peter preach anywhere else. We don't know. And one of the things also that we don't know is, had Peter really preached anywhere else? I mean, one of the thoughts I was having the other day as I was reading this, and, it, you know, there's not really any scholarly thoughts on this. There's not really any thoughts at all, other than, I guess, my own human thoughts. And there's probably other people who have thought this, too. But might this have been the first time that Peter got up to really preach, and even the disciples around him were like, wow, this guy, I mean, this has got to be the Holy Spirit, because this guy, we've never heard him talk like this. I mean, he delivers just an amazing sermon. I mean, let's be honest with you, this would preach any revival to death. So,
and if this was his first time, he set the bar kind of high.
Oh, man. He really.
I mean, a real letdown every message afterwards if you didn't have 3 or 6 or many thousands coming forward.
Yeah, he blasted this one out of the tank. But I love that he says in verse 29, 2 of 29, he says, brothers, I can tell you confidently. Now, it's really funny that for him to say, I can tell you confidently, means that he knew the story, which means that what? He knew God's scripture. He knew the story of God and God's Scripture. This would tell you that Peter had a knowledge of Scripture. He wouldn't tell you confidently something that he wasn't confident in, because you've got to remember one thing. Peter's not standing up here to make Peter look good. Peter's standing up here to bring glory to God. And so Peter would not put himself in this tenuous place between God and man if it wasn't, in fact, a place where he felt confident to be. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit, the revelation, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, and his own knowledge that God had brought him through. I mean, the whole path that God brought him through, probably through his time in synagogue, his time studying, his time getting to know God's word, his time growing in grace. So he says, hey, you know what? I'm going to tell you something confidently. And he begins to tell him about David. You know, David died, and he begins to walk through the Jews' favorite story, which is the story about themselves, the story about how God intersected into history and came and met the Jewish people, called them out of exile, and began to walk with them through their lives, through their history, and into redemptive history. And so he begins to tell him about that. But then he begins to also weave in how Jesus, because Jesus has been present since the very beginning, since the first tentative verses of Genesis, where it says that God, you know, he hovered over the waters, and then it says, and God said, and the word, the logos, the living word, Jesus, present right there in the first verses of Genesis, Jesus, the word of God being spoken over the world, which brings things into creation. What is Jesus when he comes down and walks amongst us? Recreation. He's bringing things back into harmony. God is seeking to bring harmony back to creation by speaking the living word again. But now he speaks the living word not over the landscape, but onto the landscape. And Jesus walks amongst us.
And in those very beginning chapters of Genesis, I think chapter 1, and we made man in our image,
sure,
that plurality. I mean, that's one of those things that, hey, there's a plurality in that Godhead. You know, we know God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But when God references himself, we made man in our image.
What a great
image.
Lesson, too. We can't do it alone. When God made the pinnacle of his creation, he called together his brothers. Hey, Holy Spirit, come over here. Hey, Jesus, come over here. My son. And they did it together. But they are together. They are one. Probably one of the hardest concepts for Christians to really grasp a hold of is the Trinity, that God is three in one, but that God is also distinct in personality, distinct in power. And so very hard for folks to understand. We don't have time to go into that right now.
No, but one beautiful thing about the Godhead and that unity, that community that existed in the Godhead, even though that's a mystery and hard to understand, but that's why love can exist, because there was love in that community in the Godhead. And I think that's a profound aspect that, oh, right, love can exist because it existed in the Godhead between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which I love the fact that love is rooted in the very nature of who God is, because he had that community with himself.
Yeah. Now, I want to point something out here. It's a thought that I had actually on the car ride over as I was thinking about this scripture and thinking about the things that I wanted to say about it, thinking about what God wanted me to say about it. But look at how Peter starts the story out. He starts the story out by the story of the people of Israel. And the story of the people of Israel is what? So the story of people of Israel is a horizontal story. It's a story that we would look out. The story of Mark Burns is a horizontal story. He looks out horizontally and he sees what he has. He sees the land. He sees the homestead. He sees the tree fort. He sees all these things. He sees the radio towers. He sees those things. It's a horizontal story. And so he was pointing out and he was saying, look at your horizontal story here. It's David. And later on, you know, we'll see Stephen give one of them. There's Moses. And there's these. The horizontal story. The linear story of God walking with the people of Israel. And this is what the people of Israel had done. They had become so enamored, and enamored might be the wrong word, but they had become so ingrained in the land of Israel that they had begun to write for themselves a horizontal story, a story that they could look out and see the land. This is our land, the land that God gave us, but this is our land.
Or look back at.
Right, or look back. But irregardless, it became a horizontal story. Now, what does Peter do here? Peter comes and he begins to tell them the story in terms that they understand horizontally. You can look forward and look backward. There's David and there's these guys and this is what's happening. But then he subtly starts to say, but what you're missing is that the power comes vertically. It doesn't come horizontally. It comes vertically. And he says that in a great space right down here where he says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. So he doesn't just call the people who are talking, who are hearing his words right now to the carpet. He calls all of Israel to the carpet. And he tells them, let you be assured of this, that the God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He calls them to the carpet, tells them what they did wrong. And then he says, when the people heard this, what did they hear? The gospel. When they heard the gospel, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Notice that they were cut to the heart. And why is it important that they were cut to the heart? Well, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Christ's sake. For God, who said, let the light shine out of darkness, made this light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God and the faith of Christ. See, when they were cut to the heart, where were they cut to? They were cut to the deepest recesses of the place where that light rests, where suddenly they were like, wait a second. And what does Peter say? He says, I don't preach myself. I preach Christ and Christ and Him crucified. I preach Jesus. And Jesus Himself cuts you right to the heart, right to the bone. And so in doing this, He begins to release that light inside of them, release that knowledge. And isn't it funny that it says after it says that they were cut to the heart, the question that comes is, brothers, what shall we do? Because the minute Jesus cuts you to the heart, the next question is, what do I do? Isn't that the same question that Pilate asked? Pilate said, what am I to do with this Jesus who is called the Christ? When Jesus comes into our midst, when Jesus comes and He grabs a hold of us, when He cuts us to the heart and to the bone, our next question is, what am I to do with this Jesus? And Peter, now taking them from their horizontal story, the story forward and backward, the story of the land of Israel, writing them to the vertical story about the power of God that rests inside of them, that is deep inside of their hearts, welling up and wanting to get out. What does he tell them? Repent and be baptized. Not some of you, not a few of you. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Notice that Peter doesn't just talk about this in terms of just them. He doesn't say, believe in the Lord Jesus and you're going to get saved. He says, believe in the Lord Jesus, and by the way, this is going to affect your children and your children's children and your children's children's children. And it's going to affect all the people who are far off. And it's going to affect everybody, your house and your town. It's going to affect everybody. You accepting Jesus and you coming to know Jesus is going to affect everything. You know why? Because Paul says in Corinthians that we believe and therefore we speak. Paul says if you don't believe, then you don't speak. But if you believe, you will speak. If you truly believe, if you truly believe, if your power comes vertically from Jesus, you can't help but say that name. You can't help but share that. Why did this happen in your life? Jesus. Why did this happen? Jesus. You know, I was just thinking about this yesterday. On Sunday morning, we closed our service by just kind of repeating the verses of this song. There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. And we just repeated those because I really felt in deep inside of my core that people needed to say those words. People needed to say them. And yesterday I had a few moments, like we all do. Look, we're all in the midst of our sanctification. I had a few moments where I was like, do I do this or do I do this? You know, where you're making good decisions or bad decisions. And in those moments, it was craziest thing. I started to sing. It was like, I just started singing out, there's power in the name of Jesus. It was just kind of like real low and rolling up. And I realized that when you sing and you say the name of Jesus, it's really hard to sin. When you sing and you say the name, you can't be in the midst of trying to sin and saying Jesus' name. It's going to be really difficult because it just doesn't work. I mean, Jesus saves you and rescues you from sin. He takes you out of the horizontal story and He writes you to the vertical story where you get your power, your forgiveness, your love, and your grace and everything from God. You don't get it from around you. We spend way too much time trying to get it from around us. And we need to start. The people of Israel were trying to get around them. Tell me the story of the Israelites one more time. We don't need to hear the story of the Israelites one more time. We need to hear the story of God, the story of the power of God. Now, God was present in the story of the Israelites. But you know what? Sometimes you can hear that grand sweeping story and get lost inside of it. And sometimes what you need to do is sit next to and across from a brother and hear how God is intimately and passionately involved in his life and changing his life. But I love that Peter says, this is not just for you, this is not just for a couple of you, this is for all of you.
Jason, let me just cut in right now because I love that portion in verse 37. They were cut to the heart. And there may be a listener right now that's feeling cut to the heart. They're not quite sure what they're thinking. They're just feeling maybe overwhelmed or in anguish or recognizing sin in their lives and have probably used the Lord's name in vain, not in a positive way, not in a way where they were proclaiming Him as Lord and Savior. And maybe they're feeling convicted of some of those past statements that they've made, putting Jesus' name as a swear word. And so that person that's maybe feeling cut to the heart right now and is feeling like there is power in that name and I can't explain it, what would you say to them?
Well, first of all, let me tell you a little story because it's kind of funny. As I was at the Illini game on Saturday and I was sitting with some season ticket holders up in the top section looking down on the field, and that, you know, the Illini is always, they're always helping us out, giving us great things to say. So the guy next to me, he's like, using the Lord's name in vain like crazy. And finally I leaned over, and because we were building a rapport about things that the Illini weren't doing well, and I said, "Hey, are you a Christian?" And he goes, "What?" I go, "I'm a pastor. I just heard you. I thought maybe you were praying for the Illini." And he just looked at me, and it was really kind of a funny moment. And then finally he started laughing, and we both had a good laugh about it. But I pointed out that how we use that name is so powerful, because, again, when we say that name, it's really hard to sin. And so for the person out there right now who's listening, the listener, you, who's listening, and you're hearing this name, and there's something deep inside of you that's kind of just like, you're like, "Ah, oh, what's that pain I have?" That pain is called conviction. And conviction can either be a gift to you or it can be a burden. But you know what? Conviction is God telling you, "You've gone this way, and I want you to come back home." It's God running to you. It's like the story of the prodigal son, where God runs to the son. And that's what that is. Conviction is God running towards you. You know what? Some of us get conviction and we go, "Man, that hurts." You know what? It's a lot more work and it hurts a lot more for God, because He's running towards you in that moment. And so what I would say to the listener, to you, friend, who right now is feeling that, embrace it. Grab a hold of it. Because as Peter says here, it's the gift from God. Be assured that the reason you're feeling that is because God has not forsaken you, and He has not forgotten you. He's not left you for dead somewhere else. But He's been seeking after you with His whole heart, that you might love Him with your whole heart, and that together you might love God's people with that heart. And so take that conviction from your heart and begin to use it to change your life. Mark, you have a great number for somebody if maybe they've stepped across.
Sure. If you'd like to begin that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Trained counselors would love to tell you about having a relationship with Almighty God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of my favorite verses, I share this all the time, out of James 4:8, "Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you." Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.